This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated. This is episode 64, Nimble Games. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a cloudy, kind of rainy, which is good because I just seeded my lawn this week. Day in beautiful Durham, North Carolina on Friday, October the 11th. And I'm here with my fantastic, outstanding, phantasmable co-host, Michael Martin.
Well, hello there, Michael. I'm going to come in at a high energy because I'm feeling high energy after a couple of coffees and that I need to be motoring down the highway very, very soon because today I'm supposed to be cooking galushka in the great outdoors here just outside of Budapest.
I'm sure that sounds, it sounds like an interesting thing. I have no idea what it is.
It's kind of like spätzle.
Oh, okay.
I like that. Yeah, so I'm doing well here too. You might even say it's a tiny show.
It's a teeny tiny show and
little glasses, little cameras, little people.
Yes, all kinds of yes, stuff. The never ending story of little people in your pocket. But you know, just to follow up from last week's show, I completely forgot to mention on last week's show that the very next day I was going to stand in line with 1,000 to 3,000 other people, and spend some time with Google Glass.
That's right. That's right. So you how many thousands of people showed up?
The estimate was 3,000.
Wow.
And you had to pre-register.
Wow.
So that means there were 3,000 people who had pre-registered to do this. And Google was kicking off a U.S. tour of Google Glass. And the very first city was Durham, which I just thought was so cool.
That is very cool.
And it was right next to one of your favorite places, Tyler's.
Bojangles?
Tyler's. Oh. Tyler's.
Yes.
And very, very well organized. They had like 10 little pods that they would rotate people through with 10 people at a time, and everybody got to play with glass. So they did a quick, you know, this is what it is, this is how you use it, here are some basic instructions. You had a little sheet of paper fold up that told you, you know, how to scroll forward, scroll backward, activate Google Glass, etc. And then you got about 10 minutes of hands-on play time with Google Glass itself, which was
wow.
pretty cool. And I must say,
how many did they have? They must have had a whole schload.
Well, 10 people, 10 pods, that's 100, plus all the Googleites, if that's what we're going to call them. At least that's what I'm going to call them now. The Googleites,
each
had their own Googleputions. Get that little thought back in there.
Minions.
Each of them were wearing Google Glass also. They even showed some attachments so that you could like put on shades on the glass, because it's just a frame, right? And talked about working with others to allow to actually snap in prescription glass onto the glass. So that was kind of cool. I actually tested it both with and without my glasses to see how well it handled that. But the thing that was really neat about it was, if you're familiar with the Google Now cards, are you familiar with that?
I don't use them that much, but I played with them a bit, and it's neat because it's the whole Google Now notion with the cards, right? I mean, that's the cards show up in Google Now.
Right. And
yes.
So that,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
That UI, that, you know, small square with some basic information, was basically the UI and the technology that they used for the UI in Google Glass. So they're getting people used to that card view, which has, you know, not a lot of space on it, but it has a good amount of data. It's to the point. The voice recognition was pretty good. The only problem that I ran into was, as you know, the wireless network at the American Tobacco Campus can be flaky at times, and I know they have their own network.
Or maybe even overloaded.
Yeah,
huh?
But they have their own network, and the pair that I put on had lost connection, and we were never able to reestablish connection. So I was able to do, you know, take a picture, take a video, but getting into, you know, search functions didn't work for me. But the thing that was really cool is in the American Tobacco Campus, they have skylights in the hall that they were in. It was Bay 7. And even it was a beautiful sunny day, looking up through the skylight, I was still able to read the information that was showing up on Google Glass, looking almost directly into the sun. Well, not directly into the sun because then I'd be blind, but you know what I mean.
I've got this face on right now that looks like yee.
So that was pretty cool. I was very impressed. And so all the stuff that we talked about last week about, you know, having your hands and using Google Glass and recording a video and sending it to a person on the other end, and you know, dealing with something like a Leap motion controller, and then having, you know, overlaying your hands on the virtual hands that were showing up, that all seems real to me now. It definitely seems like something you can do.
How cool. Oh, that's just awesome. Super cool.
It was awesome sauce, let me tell you.
So I have to ask, did they have like a credit card station and, you know, people taking orders for them, or
no? I was so bummed. I was like, okay, you had me at hello. Where can I give you my card?
And they're okay. I mean, I guess this was an awareness event versus a.
Yeah, they're not GA'd yet, right? I mean, it's still in the hands of developers. It's still
but
pretty much
a developer.
Yeah, but I missed the developer sign up.
Ah.
So, I mean, it was cool. It definitely did the right thing. The other thing that was going on, and last year I had gone to the Excite Expo. That was going on at the same time. So there were a lot of people in the line from the Excite Expo who are there with gaming and other technology. So that got them another nice new crowd in there too. The line moved really quick. They really did a good job of having enough people there, enough glass there, and just organized it in such a way that it was really easy to kind of move people through, and you never felt rushed, right? So you got to play with it long enough to get the feel, and not feel like they were just trying to push you through.
That's really cool. Yeah, especially that you had 10 minutes to play with it too. So that, I mean, that's really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But you found a couple of interesting things over the last week, and I've started playing one. I'm sure I'll time out on it eventually, like I usually do with these games. But tell us about Trains.
Yeah, so I've been a NimbleBits fan for quite a while, and I've been playing a variety of their games. I mean, I've got a tiny tower. Let me tell you about the size of my tiny tower.
so how many floors does it have?
It's well over 100. I can't remember the number, but it's a, you know, major thing. And I've been enjoying playing their Planes game for a while, and I kind of got a little tired of that. And then there's the their Snake game. I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's also another Agile Bits game where you kind of create heroes and they kind of run around.
Oh, yeah. We played that one for a while. And the cool thing about that one was it had the video capture that you could then post out. You know, this was the last thing I did, and it was really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And we did talk about that being an interesting, you know, game to work overlap on that particular episode too, of how you might do that from a work perspective. Like, hey, look, I just scored 100 points in closing out, you know, this new sales deal in record time.
Yep. And we'll put a link to that episode in the show notes.
Cool. Yeah. So cool. So the NimbleBits guys continue to innovate, and they have a game which is very similar to their Planes game, but this is Trains. So I guess automobiles will be next. And their Trains game is set in Europe. So you can pretend to be your favorite co-host, and you could start your train in Budapest.
You mean in Greece? I thought you said our favorite co-host.
Well, that's true. So I guess I forgot. So you could choose our collective favorite co-host, Fader, and start your train in Greece, and then you can drive, you know, from Athens to Budapest, and or do you say drive a train, ride yes. a train,
you,
drive
you, a train? You, well, you conduct a train if you're the conductor. Yes. You are a rider for most people.
Yes, and since this game is all about cargo. And it's a logistics game, and you are looking to get your cargo from where it is to where it's supposed to be. And the gameplay is very similar to the airline one, where you create routes. Trains can go on a route, and they own that route. So you can't have a train going northbound and southbound at the same time. This game prevents you from doing, you know, terrible, awful, accident-y sort of things. And you get these cargo going from where they are to where they need to be. You earn bucks, you know, the little dollary sort of things when you deliver certain cargo. You earn coins when you deliver other kinds of cargo. You look to optimize those. And then you can expand your routes. You can expand your cities. And eventually you can expand your maps. So like if you wanted to buy the North America or South America or whatever, you could go and do that with in-game currency buys, or it looks like you can expand all throughout Europe and Asia. I have gotten to Istanbul, and I'm just about to get to Kiev
now. I thought you were going to say you've gone to Istanbul, but you're about to go to Constantinople.
No, because I don't have a date there.
Okay.
So, but I find it kind of fun.
It's nobody's business but the Turks.
Nobody's, and we should let them conduct their own business and trains.
We'll put that. Do we want to put that link in the show?
No, because that gives it away. It's a reference from pop culture in the 1980s, and people have to figure that out on their own.
Yes.
So anyway, I like playing it. I'm interested to know what you think of it, and then maybe we can do the little game at work application beyond what I've already said.
So, what do I think of it? You're right. Very much the same mechanics as the plane game. Yep. I timed out on the plane game very quickly. It just kept almost no interest for me. This one maybe a little bit more interest. One of the first things I did was expand my routes to Budapest so I could come visit.
But I knew I was waving at you.
The cost that they use for buying the track. Using the track, so it's a double cost, which is kind of a pain. And then once you realize that the routes that you've set up for your various trains are not efficient, then having one of the other trains buy the route out from underneath, another expense. So they very, very quickly get you into the point where if you really want to be creative in the game, they're going to try to hit you with those in-game purchases, which I refuse to do. But yeah, it's interesting. I like the different cargoes. I think the logistic aspect is kind of interesting because they'll put cargo in cities that needs to go to another city that's not on the same route because of how you've built your routes over time. And so you're now moving boxes and cargo to other cities just so that another train on a different route can pick it up. Other thing that you can do is you can upgrade your trains. You can upgrade the stations to hold more kind of in-transit cargo that you've moved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm only at level 5 right now, so I haven't gotten very far. I'm assuming you're significantly higher than that.
Not much. I mean, if I'm level 7 or 8, I think that's kind of where I am. I mean, I played a little bit hither and yon, and... Yep. It's intriguing and fun. I see where I'm going to hit the limit on it as well, just because it is very similar to the planes game too.
Yep.
You know, where you're carrying passengers as opposed to cargo. I mean, same kind of difference, right? Passengers are paying fares to get from here to there, and they might be in transit. You might, you know, plop them down in Atlanta and they really wanted to go to Cincinnati and, you know.
Hub and spoke, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, I mean, overall, it does a good job of teaching basic logistics of moving stuff around on a map. And to that angle, you know, kind of neat, kind of fun. don't think it'll have a lot of staying power for me. But there is one that may. You want to tell us about the rumor?
Oh, yeah. Well, I do. So let's hit that, and then maybe we will do one slight addition on the work aspect of this. So what I saw in the Mac Rumors web page was that NimbleBits and Disney, who owns the franchise now, are in cahoots. That's a fancy word for collaboration. They're in cahoots to develop a tiny Death Star. And I thought it was really funny. If you scroll down and read the comments, there was somebody who wrote in there, "Hold me closely, tiny Death Star," or something like
that. Yes. But basically it's a reskin of Tiny Tower.
Well, that's what it looks like it's going to be. So, but can you imagine, you can get the trash monster and you can upgrade that, or I'm trying to guess as to, okay, what would be the jobs that people are doing in the Death Star? I guess you might have like a canteen, you might have, some store where people can buy, sundries.
Well, you need to, work on the laser.
Yes. The laser.
The laser. Polish the Emperor's throne.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see where you're going to get 100, different rooms that you need to go do, unless you treat the Death Star kind of like, an aircraft carrier, and it's going to be like, here's the mail room, and here's the other one.
Yeah, if you read through it, it pretty much is describing that as the concept, at least the rumor of it, right? Build an all-new Death Star, construct unique Star Wars-themed locations to track iconic characters and species to your space station.
Yes.
That's not a moon? But wait a minute. It could be, depending on which room you go into.
Oh,
that was bad. That was bad.
My.
So yeah, Nimblebit guys, just like the Angry Bird guys, are leveraging the Star Wars universe and working with Disney, who is so good at franchising their various IPs to make lots of games. So this is going to be interesting, and it might have more attraction than Tiny Tower did for me.
True. So
but probably
so
almost
Nimble,
the same
NimbleBits guys, if you're listening, you've got more here in your engine than just a game.
Yes.
You've got a visualization structure and a way to take information and present it in a mobile, social, dynamic environment that if you have different feeds and inputs – could be pretty valuable from a logistics point of view, from an observation point of view, from a whole range of different things, right? You can imagine. Here's just a quick one. Let's just say, Michael, that you are the owner of a major professional sports stadium somewhere,
yes,
right? And you want to know that all your concessions, your ushers, your ticket takers, and everything are staffed appropriately and are ready for the big game.
Yes.
Bingo. Maybe,
was that UNC versus ECU?
I said major professional. I was thinking about that. hopefully you get the picture, and I certainly got your punchline.
Yes. That was too easy. I know you're methadone.
Football is going to be too easy all year. But this could be really, really, really cool.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Yeah, just think, like you said, it's a great engine that allows people to visualize and test out various scenarios. And I'm sure there's, certain weights and constraints that you put in place in the engine. So, for example, even in the train one right now, there are certain missions that happen once a day that give you a big boost if you deliver 75 trips or train loads worth of rocks to a specific city, right? And so that's changing the dynamics, applying a constraint that then says you really need to do a lot of stuff in this space. So how does that affect all the rest of your routes, as an example?
Yeah, exactly. And to me, this is, the opportunity to provide a quick glimpse visualization into all that stuff. I mean, yes, you could have I've got a green light that says I'm fully staffed and ready for the big game, or that my factory is ready to go, or right?
Yep,
that
yep.
works. But what I like is the ability to zoom in. You could then do some reassignments. You could do these kind of things dynamically, right? New customer order comes in and you got to go deliver all those rocks into München instead of to Rome.
Milan, yes.
Or Milan, right?
Yes.
Boom, off you go, right? And you can use this kind of an interface to quickly drag and drop your way and reassign folks where you need them to be.
Very cool.
Don't you think?
Listen to it, guys. Nibble bits. You need to start doing some business. Business.
All right.
Anyway, well, that's short show again this week. I know we're running out of time. So follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, all those other places. We want your feedback as always, and we thank you for all the feedback you've been giving us. So we've got some exciting things coming up soon, and we'll let you know about that very soon, right?
Yes. All right. Well, with that, I will say the phrase that works in Hungarian and English just as easily either way, and that is, see ya. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz, or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.